I'd like to welcome everybody to Waking Up with Spirit. Today I have a special podcast. I'd like to welcome my friend and constituent, Jamie Roth. Jamie is the sole owner and proprietor of Intuitive Encounters, and she counsels clients and helps them overcome any blocks, whether they be emotional or physical or spiritual, and she guides clients toward a more fulfilling and passionate life by using her keen intuitive skills and empathic counseling abilities. You have a lot of credentials. I'm going to cover a little bit throughout the podcast, but man, girl, when do you have time to, like, do anything for you?
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me. You know, a couple of years ago, I'd like to say it was even longer ago, but it was really a couple of years ago I really realized how important it is that I take care of me first. So believe it or not, with all that I do, I make myself an actual first priority. So there are things that I don't waver on, like I get a monthly massage, period. You know, that just happens.
Wow.
I don't take no for an answer. Nobody tries to deny it of me anyways, but I'm just saying there's certain things that I put in. I love to craft. I love to create. And so that's also just a given. You know, I might just do a crochet project that I can take along anywhere. But
absolutely.
I'm always busy. My hands are always active. My brain is always active. And but I'm always doing something that I love, so it makes it easy.
Right. And you're a mom and a wife and a birth doula?
Yes.
Wow.
I support women in natural labor. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
I was just going to say, I always tell people I'm an active participant in life. That's my goal. That's what I do.
That is an understatement.
Yeah.
And you've just come out with your first book. Is this your first?
It is my first book, yes.
Wow. That's awesome. And it's called The General Manager of Your Universe. You know, I read over this book, and it was an easy read, which I like that about books. I don't like to have something I have to keep going back and rereading and going, what did she mean by that? So absolutely easy read, and I really like that. And your story in the beginning is absolutely fascinating. And I think there's so many people out there that have gone through similar things and people that are still going through it. And, you know, when you're talking about your diagnosis of bipolar disorder, and there's so many people out there I run into like that. Can you tell them what it was like going through the medications and the therapy without revealing too much of your book?
Yeah, well, that's in the intro part anyway. So, but that's, it is a big part of my story. I dealt with a lot of depression my whole life, the first 22 years of my life, actually, and in various ways. And one of the last, towards the end of it, before I started to work on things in a different light and change things for myself, was I actually diagnosed myself as bipolar. And what I did was I literally went to the bookstore. I don't know why. I guess I was opposed to libraries back then. But I went to the bookstore, actually. They probably didn't want to know. I was just there researching. But I did all this research on depression. It was like I was trying to find an answer. Like there had to be a reason
right.
that I felt so crummy my whole life, whether that
right.
was, you know, all the always being tired, not sleeping well, the suicide
mm-hmm.
attempts, eating disorder, like everything I had been through, I was like, there's got to be some, like one reason, you know, and if I could focus on that one reason, at least then I'll know what to do about it. We're always looking for, you know, a reason and
right.
an answer so we can maybe find a solution. And so that's what I was doing. And I finally, you know, I did all this research and I came up with that I was on the bipolar spectrum. And I geared more towards depression than the manic phase, and I fit myself perfectly into the bipolar box. And I was seeing psychiatrists at this time for depression, and I was already on some certain, I don't know, meds for depression. And I remember going in and sitting in front of him and saying, well, here's the deal. I really believe that I'm bipolar too, and I gave him this whole diagnosis, and here's why, and here's the example of the manic part, here's the examples of the depression part. And so that's what I think, and, you know, and I really believe this. And he looked at me, and he just said, you know what, you did a really good job researching, and I agree. I think you are bipolar. And I was like, okay, well, I also researched the meds, and I know that typically bipolar patients are started on this, and I gave him some suggestions, and he was like, yes, I agree with that as well. And so he, you know, from that point on, I was written the prescription and written the diagnosis of bipolar. And, you know, I walked out with prescriptions in my hand. And the prescriptions weren't that intense in the beginning, But as nothing changed for me, they got more intense. It was like, because I never felt better and I never felt worse, I never really felt anything. They just kept trying different concoctions, and they got stronger and stronger. So they included things like lithium and some really hardcore medicines. And finally, I just remember going, I had moved to Seattle at this point, and I went to a new psychiatrist, and so we had to go through my whole history and everything again. Long story short, he gave me three of the most powerful prescriptions, and this whole routine that I was supposed to do that involved cutting pills in half and taking them at various times during the day, and my whole life was going to be run by which prescriptions I was taking. And, you know, and I was dating at the time, and I was spending the night at my boyfriend's house and things like that, so it was always like, oh my God, do I have my meds? Make sure they're always on me, you know. And no matter where we were during that day, if it was noon and we were out prancing around Seattle having fun, I had to make sure that I had my pills cut into this, you know, perfect amount to take. And, you know, it was very dramatic, this concoction.
Right.
And it was, that in and of itself was extremely depressing, to have to live like that.
Right. To have drugs rule your life, whether prescription or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they weren't making me feel any different.
See, that sucks. And that's what I love about what you and I both do, is that we teach you valuable ways to do this. You know, I don't recommend that anybody go off their medication, you know, unless they're by a doctor. But, you know, there are ways, if you're not on medication, that you can work through this. Because, you know, like you say in your book, it isn't a feel-good book. This book kind of holds you to your own and tells you what you need to do to really make a change in your life. It's an awesome book, and I love that you use the general manager as your title, because, you know, that's what we really think about when we think about people that, you know, run a company or something. They're the general manager. They oversee, and this is great because you're going to be overseeing your own life of self-discovery.
Right.
That's absolutely awesome. You know, one of the phrases in your book, and it's just a short little paragraph, it's like you're asking people to start taking responsibility, and what you put is, this responsibility includes your actions, how you handle your emotions, how you move through your relationships, and what you manifest within your existence. And you say that taking responsibility starts now, absolutely. And then you say, you know, to take stock of where you are in your life today, and how is it how you pictured it would be? You know, there are so many people that are going, no.
Yes.
You know, even I look at myself and go, not really. Not really exactly. So it really does make you accountable to actually do a little mental inventory. And I love that. What other things, you know, do you cover as far as taking that mental inventory, just basically?
Well, you know, I just think that people are so easy to, you know, pat them on themselves on the back for the good things that happen in their life, and it's easy to claim responsibility of that. You know, look at all these things I've managed to do and goals I've managed to accomplish and things like that. But when it comes to the hard stuff, even the really yucky, terrible stuff that I know you would look at me and you go, I would never do that to myself. That's actually as equally as important, to take responsibility of that and claim something in there. Now, that's really difficult because in the case of, say, child abuse, child molestation, for example, if you were molested as a child, you know, I know there's nobody that would ever think, I called that into my life, I want that. But the truth is that there's some aspect in ourself, and I do say this as someone who has been molested, so I don't take that lightly. I would never use that as an example, you know, just to put out a disclaimer so I'm not totally offending someone. I would never put that out as an example lightly. You know, I don't take that lightly. I've had personal experience with it. But I have, for example, we'll use me, I have had to seek that in myself, that what, even at 5, 12, those young ages that happen, what about me was maybe a beacon of light to bring that type of energy towards me?
Right.
Now, it's not the, you would never say, someone who's been molested, you would never say it's their fault, or, you know, I was doing something provocative at 5 to bring that into my life. That's not at all what I'm suggesting. But there's something maybe energetically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and it may be something, you know, you chose to experience, and that's kind of a whole other subject. But anyway, it is important to see those things and then see how they continue to play out in your life. You know, what victim mentality have I carried on? because as a sexual abuse victim, that's a victim mentality. So I'm guaranteed that I probably carried that on throughout my life, and I know I certainly have. Taking responsibility incorporates all the good, all that you might consider bad, and all the indifferent, everything in between, and then choosing to set forth on a different path and go, okay, well, I certainly didn't like that, so I'm done with that, and I'm going to move forward now, and I did like this, so what about this did I do to create that? How did I empower myself to make this positive aspect? And then it's just keeping everything in check, body, mind, spirit. It's seeing yourself as a whole and constantly checking in with all three of those aspects of yourself because they're all equally important. And unfortunately, most people tend to, you know, segregate one. They'll think about, you know, just the physical or just the mental or just the emotional. It's like, no, you've got to check in with all of them all the time and then move forward from that position as a whole unit.
I agree. And you know, you also write in your book that we create our own happiness or our own misery. And I 100% believe in that. And there's so many times when, you know, I'm the same way as you. I counsel people and have people come to me going, I didn't ask to be miserable. I don't see how you say I'm creating this. But I, after reading your book and going through, you have these cool checklists, which I really love, that make you take stock of, okay, you read this chapter, now what in this chapter can relate to you? And, you know, this create your own happiness or create your own misery. You know, my father used to tell me, life is all in perspective. So if you think that having a flat tire and missing work, you know, is a negative, and you keep harping on that negative, you're going to keep drawing more negative. Or if you go, hey, I got a flat tire, hey, get the day off of work, you know, and you think of it, oh, it's a free day, let's play. You create that happiness by just your thoughts. So, you know, I love that about this book, that even though you say it's not a feel-good book, I think there's a lot of keys in there that really do hit home for people that are going, oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. Oh, that's what I'm not doing. So, and that you wrote this through your own awakening, because, you know, I know you through our radio shows and stuff, and, you know, I've seen you actually growing throughout it, and it's so awesome to see you finally write a book, because I hear you help people all the time on the radio. But this is, I love, you know, a book, because you can listen to the radio, it's great, but if you have a book, you can flip back and go, oh, what was that she had said?
Right.
So I love that about this book, too.
Thank you. That the reason I say it's not a feel-good book is because one of the aspects of my personality that I sort of grabbed onto and I use it to my benefit as well as to benefit others is that I'm extremely upfront and forthright, and I don't hold back, and I don't, you know, fudge on anything. I don't tap dance around the truth. And people that come to me, whether they be clients or friends and family, you know, they know that's what they're going to get. It's very, very real. It's very authentic and raw and organic. And so, but at times it can be shocking. In fact, it's shocking to most people the first maybe time that they hear it, because most people are not used to that. That's not how most people speak. And the examples, some of the examples I use in the book, like in the beginning chapter about taking responsibility, I use a specific example about a family who maybe lost a child to, you know, their teenage child to a drunk driving accident. And, you know, there might be people who have actually been in that situation who are going to read that book and choose to either get offended that I would use that as an example, or there might be people who haven't had that example but look at that and go, oh, that, no way, that's too big of an example. How could she use that example? But my point was, is no matter what, big or small, you have to and are, you know, can take responsibility. But that's why I say it's not necessarily a feel-good book, because it's not just all, you know, butterflies and roses and rainbows. It's like, let's get real. Yeah. Let's get real. It's time. It's time. There's enough How to Be Happy books and all that stuff, you know.
I agree with you, and I work the same way you do. I'm a no-fluff reader. I'm a no-fluff counselor. If you want somebody to, you know, blow smoke, you better go somewhere else.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Yep.
I've actually had a client tell me before, wow, you're tough. And I was like, don't worry. You'll get through it. You'll get through it, and on the other side, you're going to really be glad. And she was just like, okay, but you're really tough. And I'm like, I'm holding you to it. I'm holding you to it. And that's what this book does. It holds you to it. But I think you're right. It's nice to have it in book form, because it can hold you to it while you're in your own bedroom and you can be cozy, you know what I mean? It's about facing yourself. You don't have to face anybody else in the process unless you choose to, you know, but
Absolutely. And you know, it's so hard to address a lot of the things that you address within yourself. You know, they might be reading it going, that's not me. That's so not
right.
me. But if they read it again in 2 weeks after they've gone through a couple exercises and they've done a couple things that you've suggested, and they go back to that section and they go, oh, it is me. Now I see
yeah.
it, you know.
Right.
Yikes.
Right. And
yes.
that's the other thing is I wanted it to be very short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah.
Because I want people to know that they can make big changes in their life immediately. It doesn't have to be, you know, all about journaling and all that. Because a lot of how to be, you know, self-help books, self-improvement books are very laden with exercises and things like that. And that's not bad. Some people need that and like that. But I
right.
also know people are busy, and I just wanted to make a point of just do it now. Do it now. Not everything.
Yes.
You probably won't be able to do everything in the book now. I mean, it's some of it does take practice, and you do need to, you know, marinate in it, a lot of it. But
mm-hmm.
there are some things you can just go ahead and effectively do right now. Just do it. It's that easy
yes.
sometimes. It can be.
And you wrote in your book, you know, people are always striving for happiness, but you believe that that's a misguided effort, that happiness is an innate way of being. It's not something you search for. That is what I preach. It's like, oh, you and I are on the same wavelength here because
yeah.
it's not something you can find. It's something within you
yeah.
that you have to work on. And that book talks about it. And I love your book. I read it over all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, there's
Thank
some
you.
Little things in here I can work on, too.
Thank you.
None of us
I
are perfect. We all have it.
I just wish people would get that. Everybody's searching so desperately for external
yes.
influences, whether that be money or medications or other people
love.
To fulfill
yep.
us. Yes, love
yes.
Or drugs or, you know, some things that are definitely not good. It's like it's there. Happiness comes from doing things that you love, from living your truth, from being authentic. Happiness, it's just there. It's just being squashed down for most people, and we're
right.
taught that it's an external thing. I mean, that's very much a societal belief, and so you've got to work
yep.
past that to go, no, it's in me. I've just got to do these other things to
yes.
help it just surface and just be there, be my inherent right to be happy.
Because, you know, a lot of us are taught as children, well, if you have a good job, you'll be happy. If you
yes.
have a job that you love, you'll never work again. And
perfect
you know,
spouse,
that's all, yes.
2.5 children, house, and a dog, right.
Right, and they strive for that. Oh, my gosh, I'm divorced at 42, and I don't have a man. I'm not going to
yeah.
live. I'm not going to be happy. And it's like, oh, honey.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, yes. It's like I'm going to definitely be handing your book out to people I know. So go ahead.
Thank you. I get a huge kick out of people who are really living just totally their own authentic life that has nothing to do with any typical rules, in whatever way that means. And I meet so many people that are doing it, and it's just amazing. They're like, nope, I didn't just graduate just to go straight to college, just to go straight to a career for the next 50 years, just to go get a, you know, a spouse and some kids and a house. Nope, instead I went and traveled and I did this and I did that, and you know, or they don't care anything about money, or they don't care, they choose not to have children. God forbid somebody might choose not to have children. It's like, what? Well, who's going to take
yes.
care of you when you're older? I mean, I hear comments
yes.
like that, but I love when I meet people. It's inspiring to me that are totally just doing their own thing,
yes.
and they don't care anything about what anyone else thinks about it. It's so fun.
And it's breaking away from that parental belief system or
right.
whatever you had as your, you know, your matriarch or patriarch that,
yes.
that raised you and said, this is the way you need to be, and this is what your work ethic should be. And I totally agree with you, because my father worked midnights, 7 days, for 30 years, 12 hours. He retired
wow.
and died 2 years later.
Oh,
where
my
was
gosh.
His life? You know?
Wow,
it's like, was he happy?
Sure.
No, he wasn't. So,
oh,
you know, I
gosh.
Look at him as my role model, you know, and I
yeah.
see my mom now that I'm caring for my mom, and all my mom does is clean. She has an obsession with cleaning.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, this house, oh, you need to scrub these corners, and you didn't do the baseboards. And I'm thinking, that's not life.
Yeah,
that's
who
not
cares
living.
About the ring in the toilet right now? Yeah.
Yes.
I've got more important
you know,
things
I love being with my kids and playing games and going for walks. And if
yes.
the toilet's dirty, the toilet's dirty.
Right.
And that's what I think people need to really, you know, get out of your book is that it's okay to spend time on you.
Yes, and to be you,
yes.
to be you and not be
yes.
whatever society has put upon you, whatever the religious confinements have been put upon you, whatever your parents
yes.
have put upon you. You know, that's a perfect example of cleaning. My mom is a neat freak, you know, one of those
mm-hmm.
you can eat off the floor. And
yes. mm-hmm.
I was raised like that, and I thought maybe that's what I needed to do. And then I kind of thought about it at one point and thought, well, who do I think is going to come eat off my floor anyways, and why would I want them to do that? That's really bizarre. And that's when I got a little less worried about how clean my floors were and a little more concerned with doing something cool, like playing, you know, we have this fun little kids game of charade with my kids, you know, my 5-year-old, 3-year-old. That's what's important to me, not how clean my floor is. And if, by the way, if you want to come over and eat off of it, I mean, okay, but, you know, do so at your own risk,
yep.
you know. So, and fear, you know, that's, I talk a lot about that. I have a whole chapter on
yeah.
fear. People are just
chapter.
So entrenched with fear, and that comes from mostly external influences as
yes.
well, like the news and things that people just inundate themselves with, what they're reading and what they're listening to all the time.
Yes.
And those things matter. So it's time to get in touch with our inner dialogues of, you know, those voices that have spoken to us all, whether that's your mom and her cleaning, your dad
mm-hmm.
and his work ethic that maybe is not what your work ethic is, it doesn't have
right.
to be, or if you had a religious, like I said, any type of religious, you know, upbringing or confinement, and then what fear factor plays into that, you know?
Absolutely.
And then it's time to release all that and truly become who you are through your truth and live those
right.
out loud.
And you talk a lot about self-acceptance and self-esteem. And, you know, without giving a lot of your book away, because, you know, I want to talk about it, but I don't want to, like, give everything away.
Yeah.
But a lot of it you have to change your inner dialogue, like you were talking about. What are some things that are considered negative dialogue? Maybe you can explain that to the listeners, that people maybe not realize that they're doing this.
A big one I really like to point out to people is labels. People, we're so hugely into labels. For example, good, bad, pretty, ugly, fat, thin. Children are children. Just we box them in. You know, if you have a child who, when they were newborn, cried a lot for whatever reason, you know, a lot of people say, I just remember having, when my boys were newborns, people would always ask me, oh, is he a good baby? It's like, yeah, of course he's my baby, you know. And
he hasn't robbed any stores.
Through the night?
Yeah.
Is he sleeping through the night? Does he cry a lot? Like, those were stipulations for being a good or bad baby. And
right.
I just accepted my baby for my baby, and whatever his needs were, I met them. And that's
yeah.
that, you know. And so labels are huge ego, brain, human-centered focus,
mm-hmm.
and that gives us an inner dialogue where we tend to beat ourselves up, and, you know, and we
right.
do it according a lot of times to labels. And so I encourage people to hear what it is they're saying to themselves all the time, because we can all say the most pretty words. Most people know how to say what, you know, they think people want to hear,
yes.
or what they would want to hear themselves, but then inside
yes.
there's really this negative constant running of, yeah, but you're not really good enough, you're not really smart enough,
yeah.
you don't really know what's going on, things like that. And
mm-hmm.
we tear ourselves down terribly.
Yep. I agree with you. And I think that's one of the most important things that people need to start doing is to really pay attention to what you're saying to yourself, especially when you get up in the morning and you go and you
right.
shower and you're looking in the mirror. What are you saying? Oh, there's
yeah.
another 2 wrinkles. Oh, I look
yeah.
so old.
That gray hair,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how are you starting off your day? Why are you doing that?
Yes, instead of going, ooh, look at how beautiful my eyes are. Oh, I
right.
love the shape of my lips, you know. And that's what I always encourage, and I love that you talk about that too, because I think there's so many people with low self-esteem, much more than I really thought
yeah.
until I started this work.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, nobody has any self-esteem out here. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely love that you really work on self-esteem.
That I know people think, I know that some of it sounds really cheesy and awkward. Like, who's really going to go in the mirror and go, oh, my lips are beautiful and plump today? But what I say to that is, well, why is it so easy for you to go in the mirror and talk about your crow's feet? Why is that okay? Why is that acceptable to you? Why is it not so silly and crazy and just hateful towards yourself to do that? You're not willing to say something nice in the mirror about yourself to start your day off? Say, hey, you know, right back at you, kid. I'm looking at you. I love you, you know.
Right.
Or at least just don't say anything at all then. But
that's
if you're
right.
going to say something,
don't
let it be negative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't make any judgment at all.
Right. Right. And I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but it does matter. It matters what you say. It matters what you are putting out there, even if it's in your own head. It very much matters.
And I think a lot of it comes from television. You know, I never really watched a lot of commercials because I have that, you know, DVR thing, so I'm lucky to fast forward through.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was watching the Super Bowl and stuff like that because the commercials are always awesome. And so many commercials are about wrinkles, growing hair, I mean, just everything that they can shove down your throat to tell you, look, you're ugly. You are not right in who you are.
You need to change things about yourself.
Yes.
That's
so I think the media.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's what media says. Yep. We live that out, and then we do it to one another.
Yes. And then we tell our friends, oh, you need to get this. Your hair is so thin. And then you create a negative in that person. Oh, definitely.
To our children.
Yeah.
And usually we don't do it on purpose. We certainly don't usually mean to be, you know, mean to be mean to our kids.
Right.
But it is. That's what we're passing down, and that's what was passed down to us. So we have to stop it. We have to stop the cycle, and it starts with us. If you don't, if you aren't empowered in who you are and you don't feel perfect for you, then you're not ever really going to pass that message on to your kids, which I know is really what people want.
Yes. Yes, and you know, like I said, I do this work too, but in reading your book, I can see so much that I can actually learn. The old saying is that, oh, I don't want to be like my mother, or I don't want to be like my father, but yet, here you are, you're in a situation, here's your child in front of you, and you hear the words coming out of your mouth before you can stop them, and you're like, that was my mother. Why did I just say that to my child? Because it's so programmed into you. That I have to consciously say, no, do not remark about her pants being too tight. Buy her bigger pants.
Right.
Your
exactly.
fault,
and you know
hers.
What? You just got the book perfectly. That is the whole. That was taking responsibility to perfection. You couldn't have given a better example. It's like instead of complaining about something, do something about it. Change it.
Absolutely.
Own it. And see how you, you know, if she's not old enough to buy her own pants, well, then guess what? You were the ones that bought those for her. So that's your fault, really,
right.
not hers, you know. You have the right.
Well, it's not my fault. She grows so fast. She grows so fast.
Yes, yes, but, yeah, but that's a perfect example of, you know, taking responsibilities. It's so easy to place blame and do the victim mode, which I talk a lot about in the book. That's a huge way people disempower themselves as well as don't take responsibilities. We love victim mentality. We love, love, love it. And so it's time to look at every little piece and go, what am I really doing here? What am I really putting out? What am I really what am I really saying, needing, expecting? And fulfill those things and don't place those expectations on anything outside of yourself to do. Fulfill it you fulfill it inside yourself is what I'm trying to say.
Because there's so many people out there that are like, well, I can't. I was this or I had that. And I always want to laugh. It's like, you don't know my story. How do you know that your story is worse than my story? You know, reading yours, I'm like, wow, that happened to her? That's awful. So, you know, there's always somebody out there with a worse story than you. And if they can make something and change their lives and become successful people, then you can too. And that's absolutely what this book tells me is that, you know, you've went through some hard knocks. I've went through some hard knocks.
Uh-huh.
But we've come out on the other side, and we're trying to teach people through our experiences what works.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, I am definitely going to be giving this out for holidays and to clients, and I'm going to be recommending it. It's awesome.
You.
It's great.
Wow, that's nice. Thank you.
Because, you, like I said, at the end of the chapter, you go through different points that you can work on, and at the very back that you have all of the different things that you can go through. And I love that.
And I did that, too, for people who want to maybe do it with a friend, you know, do the book. And, like, my best friend was just talking to me about she really has discovered that she likes to self-explore, but she really needs somebody to bounce it off of, you know, like a me or a therapist or, you know, she really likes somebody to, it's just because it just kind of gets stuck in her head and she needs to relieve it in some way and kind of, you know, discuss it and manifest it out outwardly, out loud. So I put discussion points per each chapter in the back, so it's good for one-on-one with you and a best friend, or, you know, if there's a, you know, book club or something like that,
yeah.
It could be a fun way to kind of delve into things. It would be a very personal way, but it might be a really neat way, you know. Healing groups would do well with this book.
I think it's great because you can have, like, your own little neighborhood or your own little family book club, and, you know, you can really start to identify some patterns and maybe even heal a family. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so great. And you also have your own radio show, which I've been guesting on. Go ahead and tell everybody about your radio show, too.
Well, my radio show is actually going to be ending in the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to be moving on to new ventures and possibly a new station. So we'll have to stay tuned for that.
Good.
I've only got two more shows left, but I do appreciate you asking. But
yeah,
all my archives, you can listen to the archives, and you can get to those on my website, which is www.intuitiveencounters.com. And I have a link to, you know, listen to my radio show, and there's all the archives from the past 2 years of doing the show.
Yeah, your show is great. I love your show. And I was on it, too, so.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. And I knew we blew several people's minds because we were able to take callers and, do the double team reading, and I know several of them are just like, whoa, because when you got two of us, like you and I, speaking the truth, speaking it real, it was like, whoa.
And that's why I love to work with someone who has the same mindset as I do, because then it's like fireworks. It's like bang.
Yes, fireworks is the perfect way to put it.
Absolutely. Well, everybody can find you on Facebook at Intuitive Encounters. And they
Is that what it's under now? I changed
That's
it to
you
my first name. Okay. Okay. I'll trust you because Jamie Roth, Intuitive Encounters.
There you go. Jamie Roth or Intuitive Encounters. If you can't find it one way, find it the other way.
Yes.
You're welcome. They can also find your book at www.thegeneralmanagerofyouruniverse.com. And you have Twitter at Intuitive Jamie. So you have tons of ways to get a hold of you. And, you know, I really want to thank you for coming on with me today and speaking the truth, girl. That's what I love.
Getting real and getting over your bad self. That's what I always say.
Right.
Time to get over your bad self. So, Laura, I really appreciate it. And we always have such a good time. So thank you much. And
thank you.
I'll be back on the radio, and you'll come back on, and we'll tag team again.
Sure. And I wish you tons of success on this new book. I know it's going to go great. And, you know, I'm really more so glad to see you in your new life. I mean, that is so inspiring.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Laura.
Jamie also does intuitive counseling sessions that you can find her, again, at www.intuitiveencounters.com. I'd like to thank all my listeners for tuning in today. And please feel free to pick up a copy of Jamie's book, The General Manager of Your Universe, which you can find at www.thegeneralmanagerofyouruniverse.com, or you can email Jamie at intuitiveencounters@gmail.com. And as always, may the spirits continue to guide, direct, and protect you.